Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bringing you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Number 1.
On a scale of 1 to 10 on the newly created leverage meter, trademark, where would you rank the level of leverage being used by the Bears now that they've informed the public that they're exploring Northwest Indiana as a possible site for the new stadium?
Well, I would say that until they sell the property they bought in Arlington Heights or put this issue to a ballot, that the leverage meter for me on is this leverage being 10 out of 10 is 10. This is about leverage. And that's okay. That's shrewd business. But that doesn't mean I have to pay for it.
I would say that this is an 8 for me, because I don't think it's purely leverage. I think if it's purely leverage, if it's 10 out of 10, to me, that means they have no inkling of actually going across state lines and taking their football plans and their football stadium to Indiana. I think they'll do it, honestly. I'm with you in the fact that they would have to do something with Arlington Heights then. That makes all the sense in the world. But while I do think this is obviously a leverage play in some shape, form, or fashion, I think we're getting to the point where Indiana has become an actual considerable place that they would build a football stadium.
And once again, the precedent has been set here. SoFi Stadium, for example, Stan Kroenke spent $5 billion of his own money to finance. The infrastructure cost was nominal compared. There was about $30 million annually that SoFi paid for the naming rights, so that helped a bit, but to ask for more than $1 billion in infrastructure when, and I should have mentioned this to the real estate lawyer we had call in earlier, developers will often develop the infrastructure around a lot of these projects too. They chip in when it comes to road development and ingress and egress and things like that, because it's good business for the developers. If it were just about development, mixed use, aka office, residential, retail, all of that that goes around a project that, as we understand, is contingent upon the building of a stadium.
Would you be surprised if they built the stadium in Indiana?
No, and if Indiana taxpayers want that, despite still owing in the neighborhood of probably $500 million on Lucas Oil, and that's okay with them, if that's what they want, then they should also be able to say.
Part of the problem here is the setup and how you're going to pay off the tax bill, whether it be through sales taxes and hotel taxes and tourism-based taxes. If you don't get the numbers, the money's not going to be paid off at a substantial enough rate to pay it off. It's just going to be, you're paying for the interest, basically. I think that's what happened with the Bears Stadium here, Soldier Field, the renovations.
Yes.
And you have to have a sound plan from a government standpoint if you're going to do the public money thing to do it. And I fear that they can't put together a plan that would pay it off, at least in this state, in Illinois, in a timely manner.
But just look up the numbers on Allegiant and you can see the percentages there as to what the Raiders pitched in versus what the taxpayers in Nevada pitched in. Very different climate in LA, but still similar when it comes to a much less heavy load on the taxpayers. And I think even Nevada is different because of how they use the tourism tax to be able to pay for the stadium. And they can, because it's Las Vegas.
One more thing on this. A lot of people on the text line, even in some of the calls we got, besmirching the city of Gary, Indiana. You do understand how cities that have it down bad get fixed, right? They get actual injection of money and projects such as this. This is the type of thing that will expedite those becoming net positive.
And for everybody who wants it, put it to a ballot. That's the easiest way to find out if taxpayers really want to do this.
58% of Kansas City said no.
Put it to a ballot here. Put it to a ballot in Indiana. If you really want to pay for it, then you can vote on it. And guess what you've done? Your part. And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Five on it. Number two.
Before Chicago takes on Green Bay, tune in Saturday from 4 to 7:20 for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction on the postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. There have been Bears-Packers games that have come all the way down to the final play through the years. If Saturday's rematch comes down to a field goal, after missing a 35-yarder last week against the Browns, do you trust kicker Cairo Santos to make a game-winning kick?
How long is the field goal that we're talking about, hypothetically?
Let's do it. Play that range. Play that range.
Let's say
brand
it's
a new game.
Let's start with this. 45-yard field goal.
I feel like in my head, it's the guy on the Matterhorn from Price is Right.
Yeah.
The yodel. I have no idea what the music
the
is.
The yodeling
this
game.
Sounds horrible, and I'm really sorry to the Price is Right now.
45-yard field goal, yay or nay? Game's on the line.
It depends on the wind, doesn't it? 45-yard field goal, knowing that the Packers know how to block his kicks because the farther they're out, the lower the trajectory.
That's a good point.
Physics, people.
They did block a field goal at Soldier Field last year. So
he's climbing. He's climbing.
So no to 45 yards is what I'm getting. Oh, from
45.
You.
He missed a 35-er.
What's your level of confidence on a scale of 1 to 0 to 10? 45-yard field goal. Cairo Santos, go.
7.
7 out of 10? Okay, that's higher than I thought you were going to say.
7.
I'll give him an 8, which is a strong confidence. Okay, 35-yard field goal.
Guys, what's that music? Yes! All right, so if you're drawing this out, and this is purely for our Twitch crew, say we've got a little like ramp here.
Oh my
I'll
goodness.
Use my pen, and the yodeler is going up the ramp. Price is Right. Cairo Santos field goal. $1 is not going to get you there, okay? That bet is not possible.
So 35 yards.
He missed the 35-yarder. But I feel like when it's on the line, he does have a little more juice.
Okay, so he's going to make the 35-yarder?
Yeah, typically.
Okay, now we're splitting the difference.
I mean, if it's a game, if it's the game on the line, I do think Cairo Santos has a bit of clutch to him in that
You're
respect.
A 10 out of 10?
Like accuracy, but it's not. The blocking thing is an issue.
Are you a 10 out of 10 at 35 yards on Saturday night?
No.
So you were 8 before, but you're better here, so a 9? A 9?
Yeah. No, I was a 7 before.
Okay, a 7 before.
I was
before.
A 7 at 45.
You're right. So.
So I'm a 9 at 35.
Okay, 40. We're splitting the difference because it's more than likely going to be a 40-yard field goal if it comes down to it. That's how I see it.
Where?
Just outside of the red zone.
Where is the little Matterhorn guy on your scale? Has he fallen off yet or no?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
My life is basically a negotiation of this idea.
So this song's constantly playing in your head?
Yeah, it's like how far can you go on everything before you fall off the respective cliff?
I'll say this.
I live dangerously.
If it's anywhere from 35 and in, I'm at a 9.5. If it's a 40-yard field goal, I'm down to a 9. Anything above that, 6.
Well, that old kicker Schmidt from last week, who went to Vernon Hills High School and is from Lake Forest.
The 50-yarder.
And he was on the Bears practice squad.
Also understand this. If things go the way everybody wants them to go and the Bears end up being a top 2 seed in the NFC, that means at least 2 outdoors cold games for Cairo Santos to make potentially game-winning field goals in. Potentially. Just think about that stress and tension and carry that with you through the new year.
Nobody ask him this question at Al's Hall.
Oh, no.
We don't want to be like, hey, Cairo Santos, have you heard about the game on Price is Right with the yodeling guy and then he falls off? And we're trying to liken it to your field goal distance and what you feel comfortable with the game on the line.
7:08. Yes, the Packers, Bears, There was also a field goal that was blocked at Soldier Field. Because he asked, didn't the Bears beat the Packers last year on a last-minute field goal? And I'm like, they also had a field goal blocked at Soldier Field by the Packers.
Fall. End of game.
Number three.
Fail. No, anger. Sadness.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, this is not The Price is Right that you're listening to. It's 670 The Score. It's 5 on it. It's Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. Now we're going to move on to the Bulls. What was the best aspect of the Bulls' 127-111 win over the Cavaliers?
Can I confess something to everybody that you guys already know? I was like, I don't want to watch this game. The Bulls are going to lose. I don't want to watch it. Sadness. Wrong. I was so wrong. Layla was incredibly wrong. The Bulls are like, what are you doing, Layla? Let's shoot well. And then they did. And then the Bulls won and they scored over 120 points to beat the Cavaliers. And I felt bad. So I'm sorry, Bulls. Sorry. I was wrong to doubt you. You took over in the second quarter and then you pretty much just had the lead after that.
Bulls led by
as many. Got close at times.
Bulls led by as many as 19 points in this game over the Cavs. And this is the type of win that I was looking forward to after the 5-0 start. But again, Coby White, Isaac Okoro have not been fully healthy. But when those guys are on the court alongside Josh Giddey, they have a winning record, number one. Number two, I established this. Isaac Okoro is the defensive rudder of this team, point blank, period. Depth is what will kill. Depth charges out of their depth, as many depth puns as you want to make. The Bulls will do it with their depth. They did it last night, and they did it without Ayo Dosunmu. And the reality is, they may not have a full-strength Ayo Dosunmu for the entirety of the season as he deals with bad thumbs, right, on both hands?
Yes, bad thumbs, and the only answer is rest, and that is scary. You're correct about that. The bench was huge for the Bulls in this game when you consider Trey Jones, who, with 24 points, and the Bulls had active hands. Trey Jones, for example, had 3 steals in this game. He got himself some cookies. Trey Jones, I'm sorry, 11 points. I'm still not used to ESPN. They switched it and then they switched
Stop
it back.
Stop using ESPN. Let me give you that advice.
I know you love NBA, but I'm an ESPN box score girl.
I'm looking at the actual box score that they print out.
But the point is, the Bulls had a huge advantage in bench points. It was especially evident at the half. I believe at the time at the half it was 28-11.
That is accurate.
Bulls scoring and bench compared to Cleveland, and that speaks to the depth. But they shot well too. When you shoot well, when you're shooting 56% from the floor, that's going to typically mean that you're going to have that nice of a game where you're scoring 127. But to go with 12 steals in a game?
Yeah,
12. For the career?
12 steals. Trey Jones had 3 of them before halftime. He also had 11 assists to go with his 11 points. And this is where the depth thing comes in. You mentioned the 42 points off the bench for the Bulls for the entirety of the game. And this answers the question, at least one account of it anyway. The Bulls rarely will have the best player in a game. Donovan Mitchell was the best player on the floor last night. But guess what? Your one star against the depth of the Bulls did not hold up. This is how the Bulls win more games going forward. This is the prototypical Bulls win, mainly because they were able to hold their opponent to 111 points, and usually that does not happen.
Number four.
Brad Keller is the latest member of the Cubs 2025 relief corps to sign with the new team. Keller and the Phillies have reportedly agreed on a 2-year, $22 million contract. Now here's the question. Is it too early to be concerned about the Cubs' plan to rebuild their bullpen?
So as our colleague Ryan Porth pointed out in our pre-show meeting, aka what we call backstage, they wanted to pay Phil Maton $14 million. Brad Keller is a bit of an enigma wrapped in a conundrum, wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in mystique, and then also trust. Because once he addressed what he said was thoracic outlet syndrome, his fastball went from 93.8 miles last year to 97. And then he became one of the only relievers we saw the Cubs really trust toward the end of the year. And he put some miles on that arm. Now, I'm aware that that might factor into this. There's a lot of people who believe that relievers are good every other year, and I don't exactly have scientific evidence to not back that up. But I don't necessarily know that not having Brad Keller on this team in exchange for perhaps Phil Maton, if that was the idea, was the right one. Dance with the one who brung you. And I feel like Keller liked it here. He was successful here, and it was a little bit painful to see him leave, especially to a team like the Phillies, who also have Kyle Schwarber for the rest of his career.
It comes down to, what does Craig Counsell know that we don't? He's dealt with a lot of guys here that he's had before, and we've seen a lot of revitalization, rehab projects, as it were, come up big for the Cubs. And that was one of the reasons they got to the playoffs last year. And you look at what Phil Maton does. He doesn't throw hard. And I was told they need more swing and miss. He's got deception, but it comes in the old crafty ways, as they say. And so it just makes you wonder, what is the plan to fill out the rest of this bullpen as you see this guy go here, this guy go there, guys who are very helpful. Now, some of those guys are a little longer in the tooth, in their late 30s.
Welcome back, Caleb Thielbar.
But Brad Keller doesn't fit in that description. He's 30 years old. He's in his pitching prime. So you would think that they would want to get a guy like that and retain him. But again, money talks, some walks. And in this case, Cubs have not been showing a willingness to put up the type of money that other contenders in big markets, Philadelphia, are willing to do.
Number five.
What's the best or worst Christmas gift you've ever received? And why was it the best or the worst?
Why are you looking at me like that? All right. This shaped my childhood.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I'm going to tell the story. You understand? I think it was December 23rd. And I was, I think, 8 at the time. Yeah, 8. So that was 1985. And I go over to my cousin's house on December 23rd. He's like, yo, come here. I got to show you this. And he's like, and he had an Atari. And we used to always play his Atari. He's like, I got something new. This Nintendo. I was like, Nintendo? What is that? I don't know anything. I'm a shelter kid. I don't have any older brothers or anything. I don't know what's going on. I go in there. I'm playing this game, Super Mario. I was like, this is amazing. Because it was amazing at the time. So I come out from playing in his room on the Nintendo. I was like, yo, I need one of these. I need a Nintendo. And I didn't know like Nintendos were a thing and they were hard to get, whatever. 2 days later, your boy woke up on Christmas morning. That thing was not even in a box. It was plugged up, screen was on, the intro to the title screen for Super Mario Brothers was up, and it was off to the races. I ain't been the same since. I ain't been the same since.
You really haven't.
Like, second,
you still played Duck Hunt and rain delays when you were in Philly.
I did. Until they got rid of our tube TVs and I could no longer play Duck Hunt. The best part was my second game that I got was 10-yard fight, and I'll knock somebody out in 10-yard fight to this day. Go ahead.
Well, I got a bike and that was pretty awesome. I'm not kidding. I like really wanted a bike. It was a very big deal at the time. And one time I got roller skates and I was pretty thrilled about those as well.
Did you fall?
Yeah, you fall sometimes with roller skates and bikes. I have a scar on my ACL.
But
my ACL held up. I shouldn't jinx it, guys.
Yeah, don't do that.
It is not
a... Not at this stage in life.
Grady Jarrett said that his ACL is an awesome cruciate ligament, and he might be the only person on the planet who has an awesome cruciate ligament, because the ACL has a mind of its own.
Especially amongst women who are in their athletic prowess.
Maybe I just knew how to fall. I don't know. So the bike and skates were pretty high up there for me. I've had some awesome Christmas presents. The worst, I think it's when you have a breakup and they ask for the present they gave you back.
Ooh, that's never happened. I've never encountered that.
You probably dated adults, but I have not always.
Wait, are you serious?
Oh, yeah. He wanted the gift he gave me back. And I was like, that's cool. Did you make your side chick a smoothie in the Vitamix I got you? Did I say too much just now?
No,
wait,
you didn't.
Question about the timeline of this. Was the breakup close to Christmas or far removed from Christmas?
Oh, yeah. How far after were we talking?
It was a while.
Oh, wow.
It's like 6 months.
Nah, gifts are gifts, guys. Gifts are gifts.
And let that be a reminder to you all. Immediate revenge is for children. Ooh. Delayed revenge is for adults.
Okay.
Right. Merry Christmas.
This got very dark very quickly.
Mark Grody joins us from Hallis Hall next here on 670 The Score.
Bears.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
Man, I need talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What? Host of the Take the North podcast.
Mark Grote. Mark Grote, WBBM.
You're kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grody.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay.
You know what time it is. It's Mark Grody time. Do you know how you know? Because Tyler Feringold played the Open. We go live at the Hallis Hall and the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Download the Circa Illinois app. Suddenly our page that we read has disappeared from our wall. But shout out to Circa because we love him. No idea. The Circa Illinois app read is not here anymore. But the point is that's still our hotline, at least last
time. Ryan Porth will get right on that.
Also, I just like Circa, so if I'm shouting them out for free, I feel good about that. Go to the pool. It's a lot better than whatever's outside. Mark Grody, you're still here with us, though, right?
Yeah, it is very dangerous when those sheets disappear from the wall. I've had disappearing sheets issues before when I've been sitting in that chair. So it is a scary occurrence, Layla. I'm glad that you guys were able to overcome that.
Hey, Grody.
It's been here for years.
Yeah. I know. And then something disappears. It's like, wait a minute. I thought that was like literally part of the wall. And apparently it's not.
I don't know what's happening anymore. I got to rethink everything.
Grody, before we get to proper business, I just have a really quick question. Yes. Have you seen Fight Club?
Yes, please. Yeah, I've seen Fight Club.
Okay,
yeah.
I just want to let you know, today is Brad Pitt's birthday. He turned 62 today. To celebrate puberty on Instagram, put up a photo of Edward Norton.
Is that how you say it? I thought it was puberty.
Oh, I thought it was puberty.
Maybe that's inappropriate.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. How is Marshall turned into the most inappropriate person on this show?
Well, because he says words like fecal matter.
I learned it from watching you, Grody. I learned it from watching you.
You did.
I've been a bad influence on you.
You are a bad influence on him.
I'm sorry.
You're
I'm
older, so I just follow your lead, big guy.
No, you're not.
That's true. That's a smart. In general, that's smart.
I am a stirrer of fecal matter. Yes.
See, there you go. Grody, what's going on at the hall? Tell us.
Yeah, so the Bears, as we speak, they are practicing indoors. They are inside of the Walter Payton Center today because it is wet out here in Lake Forest, despite the temperature being very nice. Heavy coats not necessarily needed today, so a temperate day out here at Bears headquarters. And the thing that we all want to know right now is injuries, really on for the Bears and the Packers, but for the Bears specifically. And you should know, you guys should keep an eye on it, because the injury report will probably come out around 125-ish today. So it will be out in a bit. But everybody wants to know about Luther Burden and if he is going to play this week. He, of course, dealing with an ankle injury. Roma Dunze with the foot. We know it doesn't look particularly good for him. So as we're, just to give you a little idea of what the press conferences were like, we were you know, kind of peppering Ben Johnson with questions about injuries, because it really is the most important thing right now. And then Ben sort of set us straight in one fell swoop when he was asked about how close is Tremaine Edmonds. Here's Ben Johnson.
Yeah, hopefully he's close. We'll see what it looks like again today. Guys, we have two practices this week, and we had a lot of guys that we were unsure about. So both these days of practice are really critical for us to make some of these decisions on who's going to be available. But if we can get Tremaine back, I mean, I think it's a huge bonus. He was playing tremendous football before the injury. He is a huge asset in coverage, just because of how long he is. It's hard to get the ball around him when we're playing zones, and I think he's really good in our match and mans, where he can match up on tight ends and running backs out of the backfield and do a really good job there. You know, Josh Jacobs is a heck of a pass catcher. He probably doesn't get enough credit for that part of his game, and so that's something that we need to do a good job taking care of, and so Tremaine potentially could really help us in that regard.
I love that news, but at the same time, I didn't hear him talking about the other guys on offense in that same manner. But is Tremaine Edmonds playing? Is that your takeaway here, Mark?
No, not necessarily. Oh. It's, I mean, I think there's a, like, I don't really know, like, if he's going to play or not, but I just thought it was interesting that Ben Johnson, like, by the time we're asking about Tremaine Edmonds, he's like, guys, yo, we got two practices this week. So I think, honestly, part of what Ben Johnson was trying to tell us today was he doesn't know. Like, today, what's going on right now as we're speaking inside of the Walter Payton Center outside will go a long way towards answering some of these questions with Edmonds. And, you know, obviously I can't reveal right now whether or not any of these guys is practicing right now. That's why I said that in about an hour or so, everybody's going to know who is practicing, who was not, and how close their potential is to playing this Saturday night against the Pack.
Yeah, and I get what Ben Johnson is saying about the lack of practices factoring into this. That makes perfect sense. But when you're trying to game plan for this in a way that is more productive than what we saw in the last Green Bay game, I would imagine whether or not Tremaine Edmonds is available is a huge factor in this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's a big deal. And no matter how well the Bears have played on defense, and even at the linebacker spot, the Bears have a linebacker who was just named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. We know that TJ Edwards is back. So they have thrived and they have done well enough without some of these key injuries. But when you have a guy like Tremaine Edmonds who could come back, you don't hesitate. You try to get him in as fast as you can. But even the Luther Burden side of this thing is huge too, just because of how good he has been in the last two games. It's been this quality over quantity. And I'll just stick with what he did in the Packers game. And that was four catches for 67 yards, where every single one of the plays that he made against the Packers was big. Like go through all the plays, an 18 yard strike from Caleb Williams in the third, in the fourth quarter, a 27 yarder, the third and three catch in the second. The quick hitter is, I love that play where he just threw almost behind the line of scrimmage, and they just said, Luther Burden, go do what you do, take the ball and run with the ferocity that you run with. So he's a key guy. Not that Ben Johnson won't get creative and can't get creative and highlight other guys, like we saw even in that Packers game. The pass to Devin Duvernay was one of the best plays of the game on that particular day. Lamide Zaccheaus had a big time play. So it is heartening to know that Ben Johnson is good enough to scheme up other guys and make other guys look good. But I think at this point in the season, for this game specifically, if Luther Burden doesn't play, and I'm anticipating that Rome Odunze won't play, that's bad news for the Bears and their offense and what they're trying to do.
We're talking to Mark Grody of Raheemy Harris and Grody, live from Halas Hall and 670 The Score on our Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. He's also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Where at Halas are you today, by the way?
I'm actually in the main media room right now, the room in which Ben Johnson speaks and all the other people. And right now, there's only one person in my audience in the seats that are being sat in right now, and that is Rick Gregg from WBBM Radio. He's sitting there doing his work right now, and hopefully I'm not annoying him too much. But
work
that's
cousins.
Where I am. Do you guys like what I've done with the wallpaper behind me here with the Bears stickers? The Bears stickers that you gave me, I used to decorate the background that I'm using today.
Actually, everybody on Twitch likes the Bear wallpaper. So yeah, see, that's something they can
nice
sell
bear.
And yeah, then proceeds yeah, okay. could go to the stadium.
Oh yeah, and to that end, so as I was walking into Halas Hall today, as I was about to come in the main security door, I did see I did see Kevin Warren. He was surrounded by a few people. I can't tell you if he was coming or going, but at least the word out here at Halas Hall, and we have not received anything succinctly or exactly, unless something is happening while I'm talking to you guys, and I'm actually looking at my phone right now to make sure, it doesn't look like Kevin Warren will speak today. You know, there had been talk that he would speak at 2 o'clock today in regards to everything that is going on with the stadium and Northwest Indiana and all the leverage and all of that kind of stuff we thought might go down. But right now, and it's a fluid situation, right now it does not look like Kevin Warren will speak to the media today.
I understand you're getting more answers on whether or not the Bears are indeed ramping up and playing their best ball when Ben Johnson said they'd be playing their best ball?
Yeah, and I think the question to Ben Johnson in regards to that, because, boy, of all the smart things that Ben Johnson has said this year, like, that one really has stuck. Isn't that something about Ben Johnson? Usually the things that he has said, not 100%, but the things he says usually come to pass, whether it is fixing the offensive line, fixing the running game, fixing Caleb Williams, fixing pre-snap stuff. And he also said to us months ago that I expect this team to be playing its best ball in December. And so the question to him is, why did you think that? Here's Ben.
I think anytime your first year of a program, you're hopeful that that's going to be the case as guys get more comfortable in terms of what you're coaching and what you're expecting. And so that's certainly been the case with our veteran players, but we have a number of young players that early on, it's a lot, you know, and at this point, I think that they're able to go out and play fast. We trust them as a coaching staff. They've earned that. You can look all across our rookie class, and there's a number of high-level contributors right now, more so on the offensive side of the ball. But I think that comes with a lot of time and effort. But when you see you see them in training camp and you see where we came from early on in camp to the end of camp, I mean, I think it's not that bold of a statement to say that we're going to be playing some pretty good football here at the end of the year.
Yeah, he's got a little humility about it. So, but I mean, they are playing their best ball right now. There is no gray area of that.
No, I think that's absolutely true. And I hope that we see Caleb Williams continue to build on the game he had last week. That would be wonderful if that were the case.
Yeah. We were talking about that, Layla. Like, it's just, there hasn't been many successive good games for Caleb, or games that really open your eyes and say, oh, yeah, that was terrific. And, yeah, for my money, I don't think I've backed off of it. I thought that last week was Caleb's best game. And every time he's had a game that has been really good, I have wanted to see it continue into the next. So he's got another big opportunity in this game against Green Bay, and we all know how close it came. We all know, well, maybe people don't know, Caleb Williams is pissed off about what happened in Green Bay. He's been making that clear since the since the win over Cleveland, essentially. And quite frankly, lots of guys in that Bears locker room are holding a little bit of anger from that Packers game, which I have made very clear is not something that I've seen around here for a long time, where guys are really feeling a loss and really wanting to get a piece of a team. That just hasn't existed around here in the last few years.
Especially not right now. And Mark, I can add to that in our next segment because of my conversation with Noah Sewell. So
I heard about it, Layla. Yeah, I haven't told any of your secrets, but I've been hearing some rumors from the people that were there that Noah Sewell did some pretty cool things, said some pretty cool things as well. So
yes.
I will look forward to hearing that.
And I can confirm your report that players are still very much mad about the game against
the Packers. You can corroborate that?
Yes, absolutely. So we'll do that next. In the meantime, Mark, thanks as always for giving us the latest from the Hall.
Bye, guys. I'll be back at 4:20.
Bears.
Bye, Mark.
Oh, my gosh. We didn't get a Bears back from Groats.
Bears?
There. Oh, gosh. Thank you. Whoa, I was worried. So coming up next, as Mark alluded to and as I alluded to, just how mad are the Bears about not beating the Packers last time around? I'll tell you my conversation with Noah Sewell from Football After Dark next.
Bears.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. Listen to Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, Mark Grody, who you just heard, joining us live from Alice Hall. And I do want to share a bit of a conversation that really is inspired by what Mark Grody just talked about. He said, players are mad that they lost to the Packers last time around, last week. It was technically last calendar week. I feel like I can say that. But when you talk about the NFL weeks, then that implies the Browns. The point is, it's recently.
You're confusing me right now.
It's the Sunday before last.
Okay, I can roll with that.
All right, so Sunday before last, they're mad from that game. They stayed mad from that game. And they kept that same energy when I saw a great crowd at Moretti's in Edison Park for Football After Dark on Tuesday night. It was Noah Sewell who came out, and he was fantastic. Noah, linebacker, of course, for the Bears. He's up to 57 total tackles. His season high was 11 against the Cowboys. He had 10 against the Vikings. He stepped up when we see, as we talked about it with Mark Grody, an injured linebacking core has not always been at 100%. And the crowd was great at Moretti's in Edison Park. Brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Remy Martin. We couldn't have had a better group for this. It was a fun vibe, and Noah came in with that energy. When we started talking to him immediately, the first thing he said was, blank the Packers, except it wasn't a blank. So that's where they're at with this.
Probably wasn't the word love either.
No, it was not. They are still very much mad that they lost that game. And I think that is a good energy to keep. You know, Ben Johnson, we ask all the time, is he petty? How does that filter out to the rest of the team? And that fired up nature that we saw is there. Like when I talked to Noah the whole time for like about an hour that we had him about the loss to the Packers, about the attitude of the team now compared to, you know, when he was here, when he was drafted in 2023, you can tell that this is a game that is absolutely the thing that is motivating them, and they're thinking about in every, I would assume, waking free moment based on how I talk to him.
I want to know what his vibe was in terms of going from being maybe a guy who's getting interviewed to there's fans, so you're interacting with fans as well.
Well, and that was part of it. We had great questions from the fans. There were some times, because it's Football After Dark, you can speak a little more freely. So there were some earmuff moments for the kids. Kids don't cuss like that in public.
Wait, there were kids there?
Yeah.
Like what age kids would you guess?
I would say from about 8 or 9.
And they were listening to the... I guess nothing worse than you would hear in an actual game, right? Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, and that happens. And hey, it's Football After Dark. They're with their parents. So their parents can tell them what they feel like. It was a wonderful conversation with Noah. It wasn't just about that. He also just, again, reiterated, you can tell how much the players who are not new to the team this year, I got to talk to Nashawn Wright, he wasn't here last year, how much they believe in Ben Johnson and the coaching staff, how much he likes Dennis Allen, and Nashawn Wright, of course, echoed that. Dennis Allen drawing up blitzes for people is a love language, you know, trying to utilize their strengths and motivate them in different ways, and that's been also something that we've seen take place.
Wow. That sounds fun, but it also sounds very informative.
It really was. And Noah Sewell also let us in on some information.
What you got?
Number one, apparently it was the Bears offensive line who convinced Ben Johnson to take his shirt off.
Wait. In real time, or this is something they have been getting on him about for a while?
In real time. They were the ones who egged him on.
Wow. Okay, so maybe this was not a Ben Johnson decision. Maybe this is a Ben Johnson coercion. Is that fair?
He also said that he thought that Ben Johnson had been working on working out for the moment.
Oh my goodness. So this is a true story where he's like, all right, I got about a month or so to get things together.
So it may have been the fact that they were coercing him or egging him on for a while. But the Bears' offensive line, especially when we're talking about Drew Dahlman, who should be in the Pro Bowl, and Jonah Jackson and Joe Tooney, who probably might be in the Pro Bowl. I'm like, guys, whatever you say, listen to these people.
You're taking me down a rabbit hole.
Darnell Wright.
The Ben Johnson news is taking me down a rabbit hole, because now I'm wondering, was he on a cut, like an active cut, since the day that he was asked by the Wiener Circle, you know, if you do this, we'll feed the city. He's like, all right, I need to really watch what I eat from now on. Like, has this been an ongoing thing to get to this point in which his shirt comes off?
Here's the issue. We're not going to learn that from Ben Johnson.
I think we will. I think if you ask Ben Johnson straight up.
Like, did you have a workout and diet plan before you reach that pivotal moment in the locker room?
It's not even that hard. It's just, did you change anything after you understood that if you took your shirt off, people would be fed?
Because we knew he worked out.
He already works out. That's what I'm saying.
Ryan Poles talked about that from like the very moment he hired him. He talked about his weight room routine and how it seems to kind of match that intensity. So that was courtesy of Noah Sewell. And then he also, Noah's story about growing up in Samoa and then coming here with his family when he was a child is really moving. The Athletic actually has a really good story from 2019 before he got to Oregon, where he wanted to play with his brother Panay and they didn't get to because of the pandemic. If you want to check it out, it's a really informative article and talks a lot about just the family moving together. He's one of five kids, and he's the youngest of five, four brothers and one sister. And he talked about how he thought that he was going to get to play in Oregon, never thought that he would end up in the same division as his brother, Panay, who plays for the Lions. And then he told us that he wants to get a trick play in. He's like, you do it for my brother. Why can't you do it for me? So are we on the watch, guys? Are we on the lookout for a possible Noah Sewell trick play this weekend?
I would love that. I'd bring back the trick plays. I'm mad that, who was it that got cut, the cut block? Remember where Caleb Williams ends up throwing a touchdown, but obviously it was designed to go to an offensive lineman? That was just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, when Ben Johnson said... When Theo Benedict was
reporting, he was the number one read.
He goes, that was a big man touchdown. And then he goes, I was about to say fat man touchdown. And I'm like, but didn't you just say fat man touchdown?
No, he's saying, I am aware that my language matters and I'm going to say big man as opposed to fat man.
It's like I said, when it comes to protect, when did Heavy go out of style?
I love Heavy.
Amen. So, wonderful conversation with Noah Sewell. Talked about his family, what his dad meant to him. His dad was a football coach who moved because he knew their family moved to the States because they knew they had potential to end up playing football professionally. And it's worked out in an incredible way. And he said that his dad still texts him and his brother before every single game, a message of motivation and to fire them up. So, just a wonderful conversation with Noah. He had advice to the kids, too. He said, if somebody tells you not to do something that's not true, you can do it. And he talked about his size because he plays at a bigger size for a linebacker and how hard he worked to get to this point. So it was just a fantastic moment with Noah. And yes, can confirm that they are still very mad about that loss to the Packers. Soldier Field is going to be so much fun on Saturday night. And a trick play, if they run a trick play that works, I can't even imagine what that atmosphere is going to be like.
As long as they win, Layla. As long as they win.
Here's the thing. Saturday night, everybody's going to be out.
Lathered up, as they say.
The city's going to be drunk no matter what the result of the game is.
Things could go really, really well or really, really poorly, or both. Or both.
The friend game plan. Like, just know you're not getting a Bears video Saturday night, okay? There's only so much I can do. I need that.
Are you going out for the game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where will you be?
I don't want to talk about it yet. Because we have a couple of plans in the mix. I think you may already know one of the choices.
I can surmise and guess.
Yes, you can. In the meantime, we have more coming up here on Rahimi Harris and Grody. Our friend Carmen Vitale, our NFC North reporter. She works for Marquee Sports Network and Fox Sports Radio, is in studio with us next. And I got some questions to ask her about something Kirk Cousins said that I think a lot of us need to hear. It's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.